Isaiah chapter 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, I don't think I need to read through the whole of Isaiah 53 for you. I'm sure so far as what the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 is one of these chapters that is very well known to every one of us. Just as the text that we had on Wednesday evening, I Thirst, is a text that is very well known to every one of us. In both these texts, they bring us back to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very subject of the preaching of the gospel. The Apostle Paul says that he preached Christ crucified. That was the very subject of his preaching, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory that should follow. Indeed, is that not the subject that we are told that occupied the minds of Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, and all the prophets? Of the Psalms, it is the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Lord himself tells us this, and he tells those in the road to Emmaus the selfsame thing. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to rise again? And when you read of the beginning of Isaiah 53, and you read and you see today of the rejection of the gospel by the Jews, despite the clear prophecies that we find within, for example, this chapter and other chapters of the scripture of the Old Testament, when you see and you marvel at the blindness of the Jews, you might be tempted to say that somewhere along the line, God has failed in his purposes or his intentions. But you actually find when you come to examine the scripture that it is the opposite that is the case. When you go back to Isaiah, and the very beginning, he says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We are told even throughout the whole of the Old Testament of how the blindness of the Jews, that he will come unto his own, and he will be rejected of his own. And indeed, it is not the fact today that the Jews are blind to the plain teaching of their own scripture that ought to marvel us. It would indeed be a marvel to us were the Jews to be believing, because we are told in scripture, and God has told us, that they will not. This report that is given to them, they will not believe. We ought not to marvel then that the hardness of the heart of the Jews, and that there is a blindness over them, even concerning their own scripture. I think I may have mentioned to you once before, or hearing of one of the missionaries to the Jews, and he said that he went into a home where there was a death. It was a Jewish home, and the Jews knew him. He was working among them as a missionary. And when he went into this home where there was a bereavement, he asked if he could read the scripture. And because they knew him, they did him the great honor of allowing him to read the scripture. So he opened the scripture at Isaiah 53. And he began to read to them out of Isaiah 53. And he didn't get very far until they stopped him. And they accused him of reading from the New Testament. We often have the view that the Jews are well acquainted with the scriptures of the Old Testament. I remember listening to Moshe Radcliffe, the late Moshe Radcliffe, once giving an address on how he'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And most, if not all of us, know Moshe Radcliffe. And when he gave his address, he made this point, that we would think that the Jews were very well acquainted with the scriptures of the Old Testament. He says they are not. They are ignorant of the scriptures. They don't know the scriptures. And that is borne out by this missionary who went into their home and read from Isaiah 53. And so convinced were they that he was actually talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were condemned out of their own mouths. Because even they recognized when he began to read that this was speaking of Messiah, although they mistakenly thought that this man was speaking from the New Testament and took offense. But we should not be surprised at the blindness of the Jews. Even this is fulfilling the prophecy of God, that the Lord would come unto his own, and his own would receive him not. Our text, Isaiah 53, chapter 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We want to look at three things. First of all, the report that is spoken of here. And secondly, believing this report. And thirdly, making application of that by looking up the results of believing in this report. First of all, the report, believing the report, and then the results of that belief. First of all, then, the report that is spoken of. There is a specific report that the prophet here is speaking about. He says, who hath believed our report? The word report there means doctrine. It is a report, it is the doctrine that he is presenting before them. Who has believed it? Who has believed the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who has believed the doctrine of the gospel of saving grace? What is contained within the report that is given? What is the truth that is presented in this report? It's just like if you receive a report. Within it there are certain facts. There are certain truths. Well, here the prophet speaks of a report. And we do not need to go out of this chapter to find out the report that the prophet is speaking of. First of all, there are three things in this report. There are three doctrines that the prophet is laying before us. First of all, the need for redemption. The need to be saved. You find that in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have gone like sheep. We have departed and are perishing and are helpless. We are in a lost state and in a perishing state. By nature, that is how we are. By nature, we are at enmity with God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This report is diagnosing something that is radically wrong. Something that is radically misplaced. And remember, he is talking here to those to whom the oracles of God had been given. They have departed from the ways of God. They have gone their own way, and they have departed from the truth as it has been revealed. This report diagnoses something that is radically wrong. But what the prophet here says to Israel specifically is applicable also to man in his fallen state. He is perishing. He is lost. And the diagnosis for mankind is that he is on his way to a lost eternity. And if that is all that the gospel were ever to tell you, and if that's all that the report was ever to lay before them, what a fearful and what a frightening diagnosis it is. What a fearful prognosis is laid before them. But you see, this report doesn't stop there. This report just doesn't bring out the fact that there is need for redemption. The second thing it brings out of the three things is that there is a suffering Savior. There is one who has suffered, who is to come into this world. And he speaks here in the present tense always, because that's how Isaiah sees it. He doesn't see the suffering of Christ as something that's only a probability. Perhaps it will happen. He speaks in the present tense as though it's already happened. It hadn't, of course. But he's speaking in these terms as though it has actually already taken place. And how does this servant, how does the suffering servant, how does the Lord Jesus Christ suffer? Well, I read one commentator, and he indicates that this report tells us of five different ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ suffers. He first of all suffers in his honor. Look at verse 2 and see what it says. See the contempt that is shown for him. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out. He has no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He is a man that is despised and esteemed him not. What contempt is laid upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What contempt and despising of the honor of this one who is the suffering servant? And you think it's only perhaps in Isaiah's day that there is contempt and a rejection and contempt and despising of the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what was true then and was true at Calvary is equally true today. What contempt and despising of the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And yet they see no beauty in him. They see no honor in him, but they despise him and they show him the greatest contempt. But it is not only in his honor, it is even in his, secondly, his civil rights. In verse 7, he was unjustly oppressed. He was oppressed, afflicted. He opened not his mouth, but yet he's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you find that even the civil rights that applied to a citizen there, Pilate says, I find no fault in him, but yet I'll give them to you, and I wash my hands of the whole thing. And he opens not his mouth. They set against him false accusers who could not sustain what they brought against him. Yet he opened not his mouth. He suffers in that the very civil rights he is unjustly oppressed. But it is not just in his civil rights and in the honor, but look at how he suffers in his body. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. What stripes there were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What stripes there are. Even in death, he was numbered with the transgressors. And his body laid into a tomb. He suffered in his body, in the stripes that were laid upon him. Every nail that pierced his hands and feet, his suffering. The sword that pierced his side, his suffering. The stripes that were laid across his back, his suffering. The crown of thorns that was laid upon his head, his suffering. Suffering in his body. This is the report that is laid before us. But it's not just in his body. It is in his honor, in his civil rights, in his body. But it is also in his soul. He has made his soul an offering for sin. He is acquainted with grief. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he made his soul an offering for sin. He is one that not only suffered in his body, but one who made his very soul an offering in which he suffered. And we saw on Wednesday evening how it is that in his soul he suffered. When he cried out after the 3 hours of darkness, I thirst. It wasn't just a physical thirst. It was a thirst for the fellowship and the resumption of the communion with God the Father. He thirsted for that fellowship which he had with him before the foundation of the world, which had been denied from him over these 3 hours, when he suffered not only a lack of the communion with the Father, but the wrath of God poured out upon his soul. He made his soul an offering for sin. But not only in his suffering, in his soul and in his body, but suffering death itself. He has made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Here is one who suffered, the sinless one, and yet he suffered death. He suffered death, and he undertook the suffering when he says he gave up the ghost. And then, when they came to put them to death, they found that he was already dead. The report that is laid before us here is one that not only speaks of the need of repentance, it speaks of a suffering Savior. But there's a third thing that this report speaks of. It speaks not only of a suffering Savior, but it speaks of a glorious Savior. We are told, again, five things. If he suffered in his honor, in his rights, in his soul, in his body, and in his death, so it is we find that he is glorified, in that first of all, he shall prolong his days. This report speaks in verse 10, he shall prolong his days. That is, even though death comes, he shall be raised from death. The Old Testament speaks of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. What a glorious report this is that the prophet here speaks of. Secondly, he shall have a portion with the great. What dignity and what honor and what authority is given into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ this day. He is the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. This report speaks not only of how he is rejected of men, but how he is raised up in power and in authority. And not only that he will divide the spoil. In verse 12, he shall divide the spoil with the strong. He has a people that he has redeemed. He has saved his people from their sins. And he will deliver them out from under the power of iniquity and out from under the power of death and destruction. He redeems. He is a spoil that through his death, an inheritance that through his death he will have. He will redeem his people. But not only will he redeem them, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. How is it today that the church is preserved and that the church of Christ is maintained? It is through the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his pleasure, the pleasure of the Lord, that shall prosper in his hands. But not only that, he shall see his seed and he shall be satisfied. He shall see his beloved church and he will be satisfied. A family that he will gather together from all the ends of the earth, and he will rejoice in seeing that day. Now here is a report that the prophet lays before Israel and also lays before us. His doctrine, the need for redemption, a suffering Savior, and a Savior who is all glorious. And he says, here is a report in which we would be wise to believe and put our trust. And that brings us to the second thing. Who hath believed this report? And immediately we are confronted with the importance of the subject that is in this report. There is no subject that will confront us, no report that we will ever have in this world that will be more important to us than the report that the prophet here lays before us in Isaiah 53. No report that is of more consequence to us. We see reports every day in life. Some of these reports, accurate, maybe not accurate. A lot of these reports we will be very interested in. What is happening around the world? What is happening in the war on terrorism? What is happening in Iraq? What's happening in our own land? Perhaps at work we will receive reports of many things. We may even receive a report at the hands of a doctor. And that report may be very important to us. But there is one report above all else in this world that is more important than any other report that we could ever be confronted with, that brings all these other reports to bring them to be insignificant in comparison. And that is the report that the prophet here lays before us in order to believe. Here is a report that is of universal significance. He is speaking here specifically of Israel. What will they do with this report? Who will believe it? But here is a report that has universal significance to every single one of us. It is of universal interest to all mankind, because all mankind is in need of redemption. All mankind is in need of a Savior. And here is a Savior that has suffered and has died and is glorified in the redemption of his people. Here is a report today in which we must all believe. Because if we don't believe this report, then we are on our way to a lost eternity. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is it that we are to do with this important report that speaks of a crucified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we are to believe it. And we are first and foremost to believe it with the heart. Not just a matter of a few facts, but we must believe it in our hearts and with our hearts. Do we believe this report when it tells us that we need a Savior, that we are needing to be saved? Do we believe this report when it says that we need redemption? Have we been humbled under the mighty hand of God to see that we are hell deserving sinners? This report will mean nothing to us if we do not believe that we are hell deserving sinners. Now, that doesn't mean to say that every single one will go through a depth of conviction of sin that will leave us lying on the ground. Not at all. Some people may go through great degrees of conviction of sin, and others may go through small conviction of sin. But however deep that conviction may or may not be, and if today you're looking for deep convictions of sin, then you might not have that. But whatever conviction or degree of conviction of sin you must have sufficient to make you know that you're on your way to a lost eternity. However great or otherwise the degree of that conviction is, it must be sufficient to make you know that as you are on your way to hell. And without Christ, you are lost. Do we know that we need redemption and that we need to be saved? And do we know from the heart that God has sent forth his Son into this world to suffer in the room and stead of sinners? Do we believe in the heart that the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfections, his power to save to the uttermost all who come unto him? Do we believe that today, when we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, that all who will seek him will find him, and will find that he is more than willing to save all who come to him? That's the glory, that's the good news of the gospel. People today say that the good news of the gospel is that Jesus died for everybody. That's not good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is this, that whosoever will, may come to him. And when they come to him, they will find a Savior that is able to save them and to present them faultless before the heavenly throne. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is able to save, that he is a Savior who's able to save, because he came into this world to save sinners? Do you believe in him? But you know, this is such an important issue that we need to believe now. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ now. The scripture continually tells us that we ought to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Time is short. We do not know when any one of us will be removed from this scene of time. We don't know when death itself will creep up on any one of us, young and old, rich and poor. Doesn't matter who we are. The day will come when we will be taken from this life. It may be long, it may be short. But to everyone here who hears the gospel, who hears this report, they will be brought to account for the gospel that they've heard. And thou shalt be inexcusable, O man, who does not believe what is contained in this report. But not only is it in our greatest interest this day to believe what this report says, we ought to continually believe it by abiding in Him. Abide in Him, abide in Christ. Look for this, for His mercy, study this report, seek out the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath believed this report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Despised and rejected of men. Can it be said of you today that you hear this report about the suffering Saviour, and yet there is no beauty in him? To you, there is no beauty in him. You can't say like the psalmist, "One thing I of the Lord desire and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain, that I the beauty of the Lord behold me and admire, and I in his holy place may reverently inquire." Do you see the beauty of this suffering Saviour? Do you see the glory of this glorified Saviour who is raised up and who rejoices in his seed? To believe this report. And look at, thirdly, if this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, if this is a faithful report, it's the report of God himself. Look thirdly on the result of that faith. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When we come to the one who is here termed the arm of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is the very power of God revealed. Here is one to whom the very power of God is set forth. To a hell-deserving sinner who by faith lays hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens? The power of the Lord and the arm of the Lord is revealed unto him. What power? The power to save. The power to deliver from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the power and dominion of Satan, even to deliver out of this present evil world with all its temptations and with all its trials. The power of the Lord is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And what power that is manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to save, and to save unto the uttermost, to the very end, and to present his people faultless before the heavenly throne. but what spiritual blessings are to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ when they are brought to experience this. He keeps them by his mighty arm. Faith and knowledge hand in hand. The world walks in darkness, but the believer is brought into the marvelous light of knowledge and of faith. Faith and knowledge hand in hand. Do we today not only know the Lord Jesus Christ? If we know him, then we have faith in him. And if we have faith in him, then we know him. We walk in the light of his glorious knowledge. Darkness and light. The darkness of the world who does not know nor understand the things of Christ. And the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. Here is a report that is presented before us today. Who is presented before us? Christ. This report presents before us Christ. And he presents Christ before us for what purpose? That we might believe in the only begotten Son of God. How fearful that Israel, for all that they had this report laid before them, when Messiah came into this world, they rejected that report. For all the privileges that we may have today on this side of eternity, may it be that we would not despise nor reject this report, with first of all its diagnosis, the need for remission and repentance and redemption. Secondly, a glorified suffering, a suffering Savior who is glorified. And thirdly, when we believe in him, we find that it is the arm of the Lord, the power of God unto salvation. May each one of us rest our eternal good in laying hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as he has set before us in this report.